everybody. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. What's your name? Is this a call-in show? And I really want you to call in. First of all, we're going to do a couple of meditations together. And I'm not even sure what we're going to talk about tonight, although I have had a lot of, like, really big frustrations with fast-moving energies and trying to work with computers and technologies. And what's going on in your world? Are you having that experience? We're going to have Deb O'Connor coming in halfway through tonight, and she writes about imagining. She wrote about how, golly, I haven't got my notes in front of me, but anyway, she wrote about the Mercury in Pisces coming up. She wrote about a lot of very interesting things that are going on in the planet that are really kind of shaking us free and making it very difficult to actually communicate what's going on. My communication's like this. Ah, technology's driving me crazy. Ah, what's your communication like? So what I had to do then was sit down and meditate. And the meditation I love to use is a breathing meditation I learned at the Oneness System. I've been talking to you off and on about oneness and about the Diksha programs and how I think I've talked to you about this, that, and some of you are probably going to these groups. They're all over the country. And Amma and Bhagavan set this up in India. And instead of going there for transmissions that can actually trigger your own awakening, they're passing or transmitting the kind of frequency to people so that people can transmit it to others, take some, pass it on, that kind of thing. And why did I go into that? Because in all the what I did when I couldn't really handle technology, I went into one of the techniques that they use, which is a really intense breathing technique, and I did a meditation with it. It's just, what do I want to say? It's just been so helpful to, you know, some of your rebirthers. Remember Bob Frizzell on Paradigm Shifters and so on. Many, many others are, and Judith Kravitz and Christian Minson and various other people who are breath healers taught us a lot and about how when you do certain breathing techniques, you actually flip old thoughts and feelings like the sludge, the flotsam and jetsam of our past experiences move up through our body. And it seems that these high-frequency energies that are coming through and all the chaos on the planet, oh my goodness, I could hear in the background when Seth was setting us up tonight that somebody who was having a show was talking about how there have been controls on the planet by a few people who were trying to control the whole world. And I just sort of chuckled and went, yeah, we're kind of watching that, aren't we, a lot of us, and how there are so many big corporate situations that, just like in the book of Revelations, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I do know what that's supposed to mean, where things are coming apart. And I keep seeing it's like Revelations as the big corporations reveal the lack of integrity and the control and the financial mismanagement or dominance that's been going on out there. It's really amazing how big corporations are scooping up huge segments of the society. I guess you go back into the mortgage swindle, and I was reading stuff. I don't want to go into all that stuff tonight, but I was reading things on how there's a huge swindle going on through the foreclosures, and I mean, it just goes on, and people are having, a lot of us are having to make changes and adjust and really be present in ourselves, in our self-empowerment to create the life that we believe in. And I believe that in creating our reality, we want to include integrity and so on. But it seems in the rush for spoils that that doesn't seem to count for some people. So this is a show talking about how, and my guides and angels teach us a lot about this too, talking about how you and I are learning to create our reality in every moment. And one of the points that we really need to work with over and over again is the aspect of releasing whatever has been recorded inside of you because of past experience. So where we're defensive and where we're scared and where we're, here's a big one, where we're really dependent for our security on, for example, the structure maintaining itself during this great time of change. Those are issues that we have to look at in ourselves in order to free ourselves from the bondage of our beliefs and expectations and allow ourselves to create a new way of moving into the world and associating with other people in a world that's rapidly changing. It's a really important thing. I like to think that, I know that this is true, that one of the greatest exercises we can do these days is to center ourselves and call up all the descriptions of our identity that we can manage. Like, it's really important for me to be, I'm only myself if I'm dressed really well. I'm only myself if I have a great house. I'm only myself if I'm married, or I'm only myself if I'm single. I'm only myself if I'm educated. I'm only myself if I'm dressed in pink. It doesn't matter what the things are, but there are ways that you and I identify ourselves. And it's really good to, because we get defensive and so on, and we come from certain lineages, and I'm only important if I belong to a certain socioeconomic group, so on and so forth. It's really important to bring up lists and lists of these attributes or these descriptions of self, because they aren't really who you are. They're the way you have devised an identity that you consider to be really potent in the world. And sometimes in this time of rapid, rapid change, the greatest thing we can do is release our attachment to our identity. And it's a very, very powerful meditation. So I really want you to call in tonight and really talk about what's on your mind. And we're going to have Deb in at 7:30, find out what's on her mind, and find out what the planets are doing. But in the meantime, let's do a creative visualization together, a meditation. And what I learned in the oneness, I keep going back to the oneness, and we're going to do on Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night, we're going to feature Bernie and Larry Kofnoff, I think it is. I don't know if I've got exactly the right name. But they come from Kelowna, B.C., but they've been very, very involved in the Oneness program, going back and forth to India regularly. And both of them are getting more and more lit. And I'm getting them to come on. We're going to do an interview with them and talk about what their experience has been like to be, in quotes, awakened through this process, and how they're awakening and passing it on to you and me. And maybe we'll get a Deeksha on Paradigm Shifters. What does that mean to you? It means, for those of you who haven't experienced it before, you should feel really a wonderful hit of energy, and you feel lifted, and you feel that your frequencies are expanding in spite of you or because of you or whatever. You just know that you're in a higher place than you were before. And that in turn, let's cycle back to dropping your identity. That in turn will shift your identity, because it's including a new aspect, isn't it? It's including an identity that's of a higher frequency. So you might want to tune in at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night for that. And in the meantime, let's tune in together and shift our own reality consciously through our meditation, our sacred geometrics. And I like starting it with the 7 breaths that I learned in the Oneness Blessing, too. So I want you to take a minute. We're going to do a 7 breath meditation first, and then we're going to do our sacred geometrics. 7 breath, 1 is look in front of you and see there the embodiment of divinity as you know it. Some of you will see Jesus or Buddha, and it doesn't matter. I see divine feminine, Kuan Yin, and so on. You can use whatever you want. Some people will use the flowers or animals. It doesn't matter. And on the in-breath, you bring that envisioning divinity into your chest, into your heart. And on the out-breath, you see yourself entering and being in the heart of divinity. And then on the in-breath, you bring it into yourself. And on the out-breath, you move into it. So we'll do that 7 times. and out breath. Bring divinity in. And be in divinity. Bring divinity in. And be in divinity. And going back to thinking of global swindles and so on, it really is important for us to create the reality we want and pass it on, at least pass the frequencies of possibility along to one another. Very, very important. It's always important, but right now it's really important, isn't it? Now imagine closing your eyes and imagine calling in a golden ball above your head, maybe 2 miles. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball, and drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball right through your spine into the lower golden ball. Now, from the upper golden ball, drop a four-sided pyramid, and then upside down, meeting it point to point, another four-sided pyramid. Its point goes into the lower golden ball. So you have an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. And inside that, touching the inside of your octahedron, you have a crystal ball. And I always like the crystal ball because it's got a lot of these amazing kind of misty colors on it. Mine does, spectral misty colors. And inside of that, there you are. You're in a Star of David, a three-dimensional Star of David, a star tetrahedron. And I would like you to spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. And as you do, most of you know this one, you look at the first screen and create there a movie. This is a magical screen. And as you're spinning and spinning, create a movie of you becoming what it is you want to become. I always laugh at my images because I want to be multidimensional. I want to be able to go everywhere in all the universes and do it consciously and come from the heart. What is it you want? What do you want to become? And when you feel like you're becoming that, wrap that in light. Good. And then move to the second movie. And what is it you'd like to create? It can be small, it can be big. It can be a home and a relationship. It can be a book, a movie. It can be a huge business, a corporation, a government. Whatever you want, space travel. See all the resources coming to you to create your vision. And as you see the pieces coming together, to create your dream, and see your dream unfolding and working really well. And then see the resources, the money, the places, the time, all coming together to support and sustain your vision, your dream. Yay, you did it! Now our next part of our screen is the magical, the Galactic Healing Center, and you have a table there, a fresh table, and around the table you have a healing team. And the first person you bring in to lie on the table is you. Hop on that table. And some of you have the idea of who it is, you know, what it is you want to work on in yourself. And so you could ask about it. And they might tell you what you want to work on as well. Good. And then when you get some information or you've asked for what it is, what do you feel? What happened? Do you feel a lot of energy working on you? And are they telling you something about yourself? Excellent. Now wrap that in light and let yourself be percolating away under the tutelage of these wonderful beings. Bring in another table. And our team replicates themselves. They're really magical, aren't they? And they replicate themselves around the table. And we're bringing in a young lady who's been working very, very, very hard. And she's trying to make it in the movie industry. And she's just had so many successes. It's amazing. And then she has some quiet times and she has some successes. But the thing is you get pretty tired doing that, don't you? So then we see that person. I don't know how she is now, but in any case, she's feeling very prone to chest conditions, which, you know, could mean disappointment. So we're asking them to heal her. And it's interesting because they're working on her feet. It's the strangest thing. They're going right down to the feet, and they're pulling a lot of information out of the feet and the head. And we're asking about the chest, and they're just working away on the feet and the head. And they're talking to her. I think they're inspiring her. It's fun. The reason I'm laughing is because I haven't seen them do this before, because what they look like is that they're very endearing with her. They're being really loving and stretching out some of the contained or tangled frequencies inside. Good work. And now I see another person who has pretty severe cancer. Yeah, looks like it's a male. I can't quite tell. Looks like it's a male. And it's and it's galloping, and the hardest thing. We're asking the team what they would like to do. This person is really heartbroken, not just because of the cancer, but because of something else. So what they're wanting to do here is they're pulling out a lot from the heart and the chest as well, being subject in a way. And they're really trying to smooth, I see. So what they're telling me is they're smoothing out the emotional storage in this being, and they're really trying to help so that the passage is easier. The person's going to pass, but they're helping him, her, I can't tell if it's a male or female. They're helping him, her, resolve some emotional entanglements so that the passing is not only easy, but can flow more easily on the other side, where you get to move through changes way faster. That's it. So we send our blessing and wrap that in light. Now we're going to bring in a political situation or a very big world situation, and we're going to put that one on the table. Let's see, what shall we do? Shall we do the Murdoch thing? Bob's always sitting here. Is he? Syria. Okay. They have stopped? Okay. So the prayer is that the UN stops the civil war in Syria and helps the Syrian people, because basically what they were looking for is democracy, whatever that means these days, right? What they were looking for is freedom from liberation from dictatorship and so on. And so we're asking for, we're bringing Syria in and asking for healing and support, so they can stop a civil war. Not only the UN, but we're asking the team to bring in those higher realms of consciousness that they have with them and around them, higher and higher and higher, and have them work with Syria and all that are involved with Syria, all that are involved with the UN helping Syria to break free of the fetters of, what is it, human dominance and human empowerment and so on, for the sake of the greater. But you know what it takes, don't you? It takes a huge shift in people's consciousness, doesn't it? A huge shift in people's goals. So we're seeing these amazing lights come in through many, many of the beings involved. Wonderful, wonderful teams, realms and realms working around this. I like that. And we see that the energy flows through and circles through the whole Syrian situation. Good. And wrap that in light, and let's call it into the top of our heads more and more of this healing energy, more and more of this beautiful, beautiful, multi-realmed healing energy consciousness it is, and have it come in through the tops of our heads and through our hearts and out our arms and hands. And then with using your mind as this wonderful tool of selection, have your mind and your imagination focus that amazing healing energy on any parts of the world that you can see are struggling, where people are hungry, people are starving, people are being besieged by greedy other people, politics are empowering in a negative way, nature is being besieged as well. Take this beautiful light and pat various parts of the world, all the parts you can imagine that need help. And run it into the homeless and the starving and the frightened and the ones who simply want to grow and help each other. And have it move round and round and round the world. Yeah. Until it comes right back around the world. And through your hands and your arms and your heart, goes through your heart, up through the neck and the head, and shoots out into the great central sun. Mm-hmm. And now we close off the Galactic Healing Center, and I want you to jump into your star tetrahedron, spin and spin and spin. It can be your Merkaba. We'll work on that one day and call it the Merkaba and do some fancier meditation with it. And then come on into the room with me. I'd love it if you would call in. And Deb, if you're called or if you're online, let me know that you're there. Remember, Deb's our astrology wizard. And the numbers are, for those of you who'd like to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And how many of you are going through some really huge changes these days? How many of you are seeking a way to become, what will we call it, secure? Or are you working on, it seems really interesting to me that when we're working on security, we're working on growing into the world in a way that's going to give us safety and protection and so on. These days, you pretty much have to go inside and come to terms with or really be in touch with who you are. And of course, we're totally loaded with reactions that came from other lives, our karma, other reactions from different experiences and so on. So sometimes it's really difficult, isn't it, to know exactly who you are and why you're, who you are and why you're going into the world and you're getting rejections and so on. Sometimes more and more I think what's going to happen is that we're going to be pushed back when we are not who we are. We're not going to flow into where we want to be without feeling, maybe I'm being optimistic, but without feeling kind of sickly or something. You know, if you're trying to ponce around and be who you're not, because, you know, when things don't work for us, the first person we have to ask is, what am I doing? If technology doesn't work for me, like it didn't today, what am I doing to reach out into the world and bring that back to me? Well, I had some kind of dissonance in myself, didn't I? Because that's the way it works. And when Deb comes on, we can talk about some of the...
I'm here.
Oh, you are, honey? Did you did you hear what I said about the dissonance? What's going on the planet?
Gosh, so much.
And when I was reading your wonderful imaginings description, and one little I'll let you talk about it more, but one little section you were talking about is a Mercury in Pisces, I think, and you said something about we would get amazing imagery that we couldn't necessarily bring into the conscious mind. Is that right?
Right. Well, Pisces is, you know, more the dream state, more the state of the ethereal. So all the things that you and I and everybody listening to this program knows are happening that our mind can't capture in the world around us, the sort of quantum mechanics of the world and the dreaminess and the all the beings that surround us that we can't see and all the beings that are right here in front of us that we could see if we would just open our eyes, all of that is sort of the realm of Pisces, the mystical, and it's just not logical. And so even though Mercury turned around to go forward finally yesterday, there's still so much, the planet itself is still in Pisces, and it's the last sign in the zodiac. It's real dreamy, it's really creative, but it's just not at all concerned with the technological or with rational, you know, at all. And the thing about Mercury retrograde that I know I constantly remind everybody of this, but is that even though the planet has turned around now to go forward, it has to make its way back for about 3 weeks through the territory that it had already gained before it turned around to go backwards. It's called its shadow. So we just sort of slowly come up out of our technological fog as this happens. And we have to remember that Mars is still going backward and Saturn is still going backward. So it's almost as if there's this buildup in everybody of energy that we can't quite manifest or express. You know, when the sun is in Aries like it is right now, we usually just want to act. We want to get out there and get stuff done.
Me too,
Mercury's been retrograde, and Mars is the planet that rules Aries, still retrograde till the 13th. So, and then tomorrow noon we have a full moon, so we can add that to our little list of all the stuff that's... So it's real emotional. Things get
and what's the full moon in? Is it in Aries?
In Libra. The sun's in Aries, and so the moon will be straight across the sky in Libra. And so then that just adds more complications for people. I just finished writing a column, and I'm going to send out after we get done talking, about the, you know, anytime we have a full moon, we have two energies opposing each other that are... that want to understand each other. Aries is extremely independent, action-oriented. Let's just get stuff going. Let's just go, go, go. We don't really need to think about it. Do we do it? Let's just act. And Libra is much more considered and polite, and it's not independent at all. It loves being in a relationship, intimacy. So when you have... and then the planets that rule Mars, the planets that rule Aries and Libra, these two signs are... are Mars and Venus, and they're scoring each other in the sky right now. I mean, there's a lot of astrobabble around this, but there's just a lot of energy which is asking us to learn what it is we need as individuals first, and then take that into a relationship. And also, I think the Libra pieces, instead of just saying, I need a relationship, the Aries Libra thing is, I need to be in a relationship as who I am, and I need to respect the person who's in the relationship with me as who he or she is. And then we need to see where we can go with this from there. But one of the dangers with Libra is always worrying about what other people think, about what it looks like. What does it look like? Instead of saying, well, what is the equation here, and how can we find balance that's really doesn't have anything to do with anybody, what anybody wants to talk about or is worried about in terms of appearances. What is this and how can it be real? Because Libra really loves to find peace and balance and kindness and things. But it can get kind of caught up sometimes in the relationship itself, more worried about the relationship than the other person in the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I often think that Libra gets kind of befuddled at times.
Yeah, it's one of the signs along with Gemini and Pisces that is a double. It has some trouble making up its mind, and part of that is just because it wants to please everybody. So that's where Aries comes in. It says, but what do you need? What do you want? What does your own independent self need in this equation? And that's not selfish as much as it's just self-aware, I think. And, you know, there will be situations over the course of the next 24 hours where people will find themselves kind of up against others who are acting really selfishly. But, we're, you know, there's a fine line there, I think.
That I think it's really interesting because I think that there's
right
a truth. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all I was done.
I think there is a truth that we're having to go in and find out, like, who we really are, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so we use the word selfish, and then I go, well, you know, we still we have to really get connected with the I, the deep within, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And,
so
and I know that we've
selfish?
All been saying this for years, but really, relationships, the Libra desire for the relationship is just not going to work anymore unless each person in that relationship knows who they are and is also capable of allowing their partner to be authentic. You know, I think where it gets wonky with Aries is when someone says, well, this is who I am, and this is who I need to be, and that's really valuable and a good thing to know. But then that same person can't turn around to their partner and say, and I need you to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
To fit my, you know, it's hard.
Oh, darn, gee.
I know, there's nothing harder than a relationship. And these relationships that are being, you know, we're really being asked to look at right now don't just have to be with lovers. They can be with our children, with our friends, with our family members. Just any place where we're really close to somebody and we feel like the parable that I kind of created to send out in this column that I'm sending out tonight is based in the little story, children's story of the owl and the pussycat. And
I said,
so the owl and pussycat are going to get married, but, you know, they want to tie the knot finally. So what happens? What do they have in common? Well, they both like the night. They like to hunt at night. They like to eat mice. You know, they have some things in common. But what happens ultimately when they, you know, they want to go take a nap and the owl wants to fly up to the highest branch in a big old ponderosa pine and the pussycat wants to go sleep in front of the fireplace? You know, there are all these things that happen in relationships where all of a sudden sometimes we feel like we're wearing feathers when we'd rather be wearing fur, you know? And so we've got to be careful that we don't try to fit ourselves into somebody else's image of us. And that's this Aries-Libra equation. Libra wants that relationship, and Aries wants to be independent within the context of it.
Well, it's really, but if we looked at it a certain way, it could be very useful, couldn't it, to have that struggle? I mean, you know, you're refining that balance, right?
I think it's always really useful, and that we're doing exactly that. We're always working to refine the balance. This is a good moon for that.
How's it impacting you?
I've become such a monk, nun, that it doesn't feel, I guess, I got a phone call today from someone who was an old lover. He's not really old, but yeah, but you know, past time lover, wanting something from me. And kind of the same old thing that I always wanted. And I found it really easy to just say, first of all, to say, so, you know, I let it go on. And I finally said, so what exactly is it that you need from me? And he got kind of flustered because he didn't really want to tell me. And then when he told me, I said, well, you know, I don't really think I can do that. I don't think that's reasonable, or I don't know. I just felt like I was more capable of seeing the situation, finding the balance inside of myself first while I was listening to him before I responded.
Well, that's
and
good.
And then, you know, taking a stand for myself rather than for the old relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you're, I know you're Pisces, but you have a lot of first house. Do you have Aries as well?
My Mars and Venus are both in Aries. They're conjunct in Aries.
Okay, because question was, I really thought that you were working with some of that balance yourself. Not that it's Libra, but Pisces and Aries, right? You must always be working with that.
Yeah, and you know another thing I think that might be up with this moon with Aries and Libra is that there are a lot of people, so many clients, I know you and I both get this from people, kind of want to get out of a relationship, or they feel like they just are co-opted or they can't be themselves in a relationship, but they're afraid not to have the relationship. And it's like people get so identified with both the relationship and with being a partner that it's terrifying to think for so many people to think about themselves as being out of the relationship, because the first thing they think of is being alone, and then that translates to almost everyone as lonely. But what I'm learning, having been out of a relationship for 2 years now for the first time in my life, is that there's nothing lonely about it, and that the sense of self just keeps becoming more and more and more beautiful and sort of amazing. I don't know. I think that's a piece of the Aries Libra thing too, don't you?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I'm in relationship right now, so I'm not really sure if I'm experiencing that. I'm experiencing rushes of energy coming through. I'm experiencing mm-hmm. total frustration with technology and a deep impatience mm-hmm. in myself wanting to hurl things. I think that's Aries.
Well, that's Mars going backward. That everybody's still there. And Mars rules Aries. So, you know, mm-hmm. and so here we are with the Sun in Aries. We want to get things done. But the right. ruling planet of Aries, which is Mars, is going backward and has been since February. And it's just, it's making everybody feel that sense of, where do we find a balance in terms of our passion and our desire to get stuff done and to figure out that Mars is, I keep saying this, but it seems to me like it's valid, but Mars keeps saying, how do you want to spend your energy? Do you mm-hmm. want to spend it being frustrated over technology, or do you want to turn around then, the technology won't work, just sit down and turn the energy direct it more inwardly for a while, meditate for 15 minutes or take 6-7 deep breaths or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the question with frustration for all of us, that wanting to push forward when we can't.
So that's, because mm-hmm. yesterday it went direct, didn't it, yesterday?
Mercury did, but Mars is still going backwards.
Oh, okay, because we were saying, at least Mercury's going direct today, and I had to get home to do a couple of sessions, and the road that's never blocked had a humongous traffic jam on it.
mm-hmm.
We were mm-hmm. sitting there for ages and ages. And I wasn't thinking about Mars. I should have thought it through, but I was thinking everything's going direct, supposedly, and here we are, held up.
But actually, everything is not going direct, because Mars isn't going direct for until the 13th, and Saturn isn't going direct until the 22nd or 23rd of June. So think about that. Saturn, the Mars and Saturn, you know, people just love to beat up on Mercury and make it responsible for everything. And, it is frustrating, but Mercury going forward and back and forward and back, it's constantly going forward and back. But these these other planets are more powerful. And
What is the Saturn retrograde like? Like, what is that?
Saturn, when it's going forward, we can manifest things. We can make them material. We can actually bring an idea into material form. And that material form doesn't have to be we build a house. It can be we start a radio show or we start a TV show. It's material form. It's happening in time. But when Saturn goes backward, things are not materializing for us. We're not actually being able to formalize. Saturn's about giving form, which also means formalizing. And Mars, which has been going backwards since February, is about the action, the forward-moving action, the passion we bring to things and the actual energy itself to get them done, also going backwards. So you've got the energy itself going backward and the materializing of the form going backward. Things are not moving and shaking in the external world. And then Mercury turns around finally yesterday, but it turns around to Pisces, which is a dream state. Its deepest message is surrender to accept what's up. So...
You know what I'm thinking? You know, I'm thinking with all the kind of crazy things that are going on politically and in the world, maybe it's good because there's like a little time for things to not work out on a larger structural level as well. So it's helping with the dissemblement of some of the more corrupt things.
I think that everything that happens energetically is good and that there's a beautiful divine plan in place. So if Mercury and Saturn and Mars are all going backward at the same time, then there's a lot going on at the level of the inner that's helping us to sort of be reintegrated in some way so that when they turn around, like you said, we'll be able to deal with what is happening. It's almost like the things that we're pushing at right now may not be the things that really need to be materialized in the way that we think they need to be materialized. So the Mercury in Pisces says, just surrender again. Take some deep breaths. Say, I surrender. you know, sit there. It's nothing harder than sitting in a traffic jam when you're supposed to be working with people when you're missing appointments. I mean, that's really a tough one right there.
I thought it was quite funny, actually. Well, I had a phone, and I could text and whatever.
So you could did you do the sessions in your car?
No, but I could have done that, too, but still.
I remember one time you called me for this show, and I'd forgotten it was Thursday, and I was walking way up in a wilderness area hiking, and Seth kept calling me and calling me, and I could see the phone call coming in, but I couldn't get reception until about 10 minutes to the end of the show. I finally got to a big meadow and clearing and called you, but it's sort of that same kind of thing. Mercury was retrograde then, too.
Oh, and I remember
one time coming back
from Orcas Island, we were late, or a ferry was late or something, and we ended up doing a really good radio show in the parking lot of a Hagen's grocery store.
I think I remember that radio show.
Yeah, hanging out the window and an older-fashioned cell phone. But several people phoned in and said they really liked that show, but we made us both laugh our heads off because... I mean, you can be anywhere these days, can't you?
Yeah, you can be.
So it's an evolutionary time.
Yeah, and I'm worried again about people not calling in. Please call in because I'll get off the line as soon as you call in.
Yeah, call in and tell us about it. Well, I'm experiencing, I'm just going to do a little bit of a reading on somebody who doesn't even know I'm going to do this, but... I'm experiencing a young woman who is very, very vital, very, very creative, and probably has a lot of Pisces in her because she has this really deep, I don't know whether it's Pisces or a combination of Pisces and Scorpio, but anyway, she has a very, very deep emotional nature which she hasn't learned to manifest yet. She's probably in her 20s, and she has a partner. You know, you were talking about the Aries-Libra thing, and this isn't quite exactly like that, but I'm watching, and she has a partner, and the partner is not reflecting. She's not able to get a reflection of either her depth or her steps forward from him. Do you know what I mean by that? So in this relationship, mm-hmm. she's trying to find kind of the bottom of this very deep emotional aspect of her nature, and sometimes it's coming up with it. But she's getting none of that reflection from her partner, who tends to dishearten off and pull back. Oh, goody, we have a caller. I just want to finish this thought. And I want you, if you can recognize that you yourself are waiting for a reflection to come back from your partner or a recognition, sometimes it doesn't. And I just feel like this beautiful young woman needs to experience that as an awareness or awaken into the fact that it's not going to come back from him. And if she would just release that, she would feel freer to let that depth in herself bounce up to a higher level, if that makes sense. Did you follow all that, Deb?
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Anyway, we have a caller. You're on the air. Good evening.
Hi, Veronica. It's Sandy from Ojai.
Hi. How are you doing, Sandy from Ojai? What's going on?
I'm doing okay. I was just listening to you guys talking about Saturn and the lack of ability to manifest. And I just got notice that I need to leave my home, my rental place. I've been 8 years. And I'm having a really hard time manifesting a new place, which I really need by the middle of May. So I wondered if there's anything that you were seeing around that for me.
Okay.
And go ahead.
I wanted to ask Deb, that's a very good question. I'm going to ask Deb, do you see how a person can work with that kind of energy, given Sandy's situation? And then I'll do a little reading on it, too.
Yeah, and do the reading on it. But Sandy, the fact that Mercury went retrograde yesterday is going to mean that over the course of probably by the weekend, things will really start to move again for all of us in terms of, you know, communications coming up, looking at Craigslist and finally seeing some things that are there that will work for you, things like that. We don't have to wait for Saturn at the end of June to go forward for us to get these things
manifested.
Thank
you, heaven's sake.
No, we just have to know that when we're trying to manifest something that really shouldn't be, it isn't going to be. we're not able to push against the river as hard right now as we do sometimes. But it's good news that Mercury's gone forward. Yeah.
And honey, I think you're going to have a place by the end of April.
By the end of April? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry. Don't panic. You're also being shifted. You're leaving Ojai, aren't you?
I was planning on leaving Ojai, but I haven't found a new place to go, so this next move is going to be within Ojai. And the tricky thing for me when I move is that I'm so sensitive to everything and asthmatic and whatnot, so it's like the princess and the pea, finding a place that's not only nice, but where I can breathe. So
breathing's
a little,
good.
Breathing's good.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned about that and hoping that this is actually a good thing that's going to happen. But right now, just a little freaked.
No, I don't think I think it's going to be very, very good. And I suspect you're going to move a little distance from where you think you're going to move. Not very far, but a little distance. And it's through an opportunity. It's going to come to you maybe. What's the date? Maybe next week or so. I'm not always good on time, but we're right in the general trend, you know.
Okay.
True connection.
And
you need
Sandy,
to change
one more thing from the astrological is that both Mercury's going to move into the real action-oriented Aries sign on the 17th, and the planet Mars itself is going to turn around on the 13th. So things are really going to start to move in another week or so. So if you feel in the upcoming week, as if you're just not getting anywhere, try really hard to just remain really patient with this process. It's going to really start to move faster by the middle of the month. I promise you.
Okay. That's really good news.
Maybe a slingshot.
Okay.
But I think it's very good. I think this whole move for you is excellent.
Yeah, it feels like it potentially is just because my frequency is changing that this place is no longer a match. So that's kind of what it feels like, but there's that little practical part of me that's just like, oh, shit, where am I going to go with my 100-pound dog and my kilns and my clay and all that stuff? So, yeah.
You got to trust the universe because you're almost being dumped out of your living environment for something better.
Thank you. Thank you. And do you have any comments on health, physiological stuff that's going on?
Well, what's going on in your belly?
I'm not noticing as much in my belly as I am with allergies and fatigue and asthma and hypersensitivity to everything and kind of fun stuff.
Well, part of it is a frequency change, which you've already mentioned, and that's really important. It's part of your evolution. And that doesn't mean you'll stay that way. It means that your body's in change. But the first thing I saw when you asked about your health was you need to have a really good kind of a fiber intestinal cleanse because you know what it's like. That's where, allergens, I don't know what's collected there, and I don't really have time to look into it thoroughly right now, but there's some reason why you need to do that first and then see if the other things don't just unravel a little bit more.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Keep us posted.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call,
you,
and I'm glad Deb was on for you as well.
Me too. It's like stereo. That was great.
You got two
Thanks,
minutes
Veronica.
In one. Take care, Sandra.
All right, will do. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was really interesting because she's a really good example of, too bad we can't find out what happens to her in the middle of April, but maybe we will, eh?
Maybe she'll, hopefully Sandy, call back and let us know when you get that apartment.
Yeah, I think she's going to have more than an apartment. It'll be really good. Wow, thanks a lot, Deb. That's really wonderful information. I think it's wonderful for me because it sort of makes sense of what's a little bit of a jumble out there.
Well, and we need to just remind everybody that there is a full moon tonight and tomorrow night. It's full exactly tomorrow, right around noon on the West Coast. So if your emotions become, sort of exaggerated, it's okay. Just kind of move with it and take some deep breaths.
And some cleaning.
So I know, though, hopefully someone else will call in here, and I'll be listening to you on your next show, too. So myself. Thank you.
Now, the next show, Jackie's not on tonight. It's an older show on chakras, and it's quite good.
Good.
So, thank you. Tell everybody how to get hold of you.
You can email me. It's Deb, short for Deborah, deb@lovedogdesign.com. Thank you so much, and good night, everybody.
Good night, Deb. Thank you. So that was a little bit of a peek into the universe and how we can dance with it, or at least our astrological, our solar system. This is Veronica Entwistle saying on Tuesday night, I've got an interview with Larry and Bernie Kofdanoff. That's how I say it, Kofdanoff. And they're both oneness blessings teachers, and they're really, really radiant people, wonderful people who have explored the awakening process as taught through Bhagavan and Amma. And I think you're going to really enjoy this show. There are dikshas being given and these presentations being given all over our country and Canada and North America. And you can go in and get a little hit of light and a little hit of awakening, take some and pass it on. So hopefully we'll have a diksha. So when you listen to it, meaning you will get a hit of high-frequency awakening energy when you listen to the show. I love that kind of thing. The next show, Jackie's not handling the show live tonight, so she's running the older chakra meditation show. It's very, very good. Some of you have already experienced it, and it's really empowering. And next Thursday night, we'll be talking to you about what's going on and what you thought of the oneness blessing and what's going on in your world as Mars comes out of retrograde. I think that's what Deb said. Mercury's out. Mars is coming next. So gosh knows, you've got lots to report by next week. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I'd love it if you'd email me. Let me know what you think of the shows, if you've got suggestions for guests for Paradigm Shifters. If you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels, or even with Deb and her astrology, or artistic astrology, or wizardess that she is, I'm Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Let's all take a deep breath and send light and love out to one another. And many blessings to the Radiance by Design community. Good night.